very much to State Records for giving me this opportunity to address the Records Managers Forum, because I don't think I've ever done that before. And there are a few familiar faces here and others who are completely new, so it's really nice to talk to, in some ways, a new audience. The hat I'm actually wearing is less the archives from the University of Sydney than one of the representatives on IT21, which is the Technical Committee for Records Management in the Australian Standards Organisation. And from that, I have been a delegate to the International Standards Organisation's Subcommittee on Records Management. That's what that wonderful set of initials over there is, ISO TC46 SC11. That actually stands for the Technical Subcommittee for Records Management in the international arena. Now, we have been developing standards in that arena since 2001, when 15489, which numbers I hope are all inscribed on the hard wiring in your brains, because that's our foundation records management standard. And it arose from the development of the first standard in this area in the world, which was developed here in, principally here in Sydney, by Australia, and on the basis of it being the first attempt to codify best practice for records management, it was taken to the international arena and finally published in 2001. Now, since then, we have published a lot more standards, particularly in the area of metadata, and Dr. Cumming, is in fact one of our experts in this area, and really, it's been one of the real, really significant developments in the international arena to develop three standards now on metadata management. The reason I'm saying all this is because, in fact, we've just embraced very, very recently the task of trying to codify practice in relation to risk identification and assessment and management for records. It has proved to be an extraordinarily difficult task. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. In fact, I'm quite mystified in many ways as to why it has been so difficult. But after listening to Kate's presentation this morning and thinking about some of the things that she was identifying, it's not just that the risks in the areas of records management are quite difficult in themselves. It's just that the task of trying to sift out the whole time between the areas of uncertainty, the events, changes, possible threats, the effects they have, and the mitigation, trying to separate those elements out so that you approach risk identification and assessment systematically has proved to be the real difficulty. It's trying to distinguish the whole time between those elements that has proved quite hard in practice to come up with a way of trying to deal with these things. So I'm not going to stand here and pretend that this stuff's simple or easy. It's not in the least. We are attempting to provide for the records management community a systematic approach that you can use and out of which will come useful reports which you can then use to feed into your organisation's risk management program. So that's our aim. So we have a draft technical report. Now, technical report is used in the international arena. It's not particularly used in the Australian arena. What it means is that practice in the area is not sufficiently developed and standardised for the record-giving industry to feel that we should go forward and set up a standard. So a technical report reports essentially on best practice to date. It's not as structured as the international standards. It's not got quite the same formal requirements for approval, but nonetheless it goes through the process of balloting across our community, international community, and similar processes for editing, approval of comments, redressing those, redrafting, and the final approval. It's just a slightly shorter process, it's slightly less formal, it's slightly less structured, and the technical report which comes out of it at the end has a 3-year lifespan rather than a 5-year lifespan which the international standard has. Okay, so there's some background. How do I actually turn the next slide on? Okay. So here is our aim. Now, first thing to say is we're looking at a method of analysis for identifying risk. One of the reasons we've had to do this is because we chose deliberately to look at identification and assessment rather than risk management as a whole, because there's in fact a heap of publications and tools and products which are available in all jurisdictions for dealing with what is roughly called the disaster preparedness strategies. in many senses, we don't need to look at the standard means of managing or addressing or mitigating the risks. The area that's really difficult is the area of systematic analysis and identification and assessment. So that's what we've chosen to concentrate on. The second point that I'd like to make before we go into discussing the standard and how we're developing it is that we've started from the premise that records exist in the organisation in which you as records manager are attempting to analyse and assess risk, that there's a broad or a rough or an informal record keeping framework, there's basic records objectives, and there's people identified and designated in your organisation who are responsible for records, records management, record keeping. Now, they may be large assumptions in many organisations, and they may also be informal rather than formally documented and planned processes and people and assignment of responsibilities. But even the smallest operation working on the shoebox school of record keeping will have basic ideas about that's a record, that's not a record, this is the stuff we need to do, this is the person who's responsible. So that's an assumption that we make at the outset, that these things already exist. There's a critical reason for that, and that is that we are not trying to address the question of business risk and appraisal in this technical report. The reason for that is that in the international arena, there is at the moment no common ground on appraisal. There is no agreement about the terminology. There's no agreement about what the practice is. There's no agreement about what appraisal actually consists of, the point at which it actually occurs, and the consequences. So we cannot, as we would in Australia, start with looking at business risk, which is addressed by record keeping, which is addressed by identifying record keeping requirements and putting those in place as a way of addressing business risk. There's a second reason for that. Business risk is in fact the responsibility of top management to address. It's not the responsibility of record keepers to address. As records managers, you and I both develop record keeping requirements in relation to business systems, business operations, the organisation's records. We identify what's important, what's not important. Then we put these essentially in the hands of top management to make decisions about how far they go in addressing the business risks by record keeping. We don't make those decisions on the whole. We are responsible for identification and assessment and recommendations, but the actual decisions about addressing business risk are not our responsibility, the responsibility of the top management. So we have to draw that distinction and responsibility. What we are responsible for as records managers, record keepers or archivists is risks to records and record systems. So that's why this is what's embodied in our standard. So what we've actually done in attempting to do, so this is very much in a draft stage, I mean I know we've been working on it for what feels like a long time now, but it has proved remarkably difficult. So we're looking at a method of analysis, we're looking at a means of assessing the effects and likely occurrence of events which constitute risks or threats to the records. We will provide guidelines for conducting an assessment of those things. We will provide guidelines in assessing the actual areas of uncertainty and the threats, and we'll provide guidelines on how to document these things to produce a report which will be useful and to then feed into the organisation's risk management program. So this is where we're going. How is this stuff structured? Now, that's a really frightening slide, and I'm going to give you time to actually read it, because the definition of risk is itself an area of huge contention. There is a technical committee in the international arena for risk management. It's produced the standard series, the 31,000 standard series. It's a very specific technical committee of its own. It's not part of the management system standards arena. It's identified as a very particular area of expertise. So there's a stack of caveats there against the definition. So if it seems incredibly broad and not particularly helpful, yes, I'd agree with you in many ways. But this is what we have to work from. In the standards arena, you cannot invent stuff. You have to, by and large, build on what already exists. And where you want to vary from identified, particularly things identified by other technical committees whose expertise is accepted in the international arena, if you want to vary from what they've identified, then you have to provide notes and reasons and arguments about why you need to move away from that. Hence the number of notes. Now, I sort of hesitate to actually go through these things in detail, but one of the many points I'd actually start with by looking at this is to say that, okay, what we're really identifying here is that there is uncertainty in objectives. We all know that organisations create records out of their business activities. The records are not necessarily identical in value or use or longevity or anything else. Their quality may well vary like mad. However, having established that these things exist, there are areas of uncertainty which we have to assess and work out what's the impact going to be. One of the things that we were very, very keen to ensure when we started drafting the new standard was to make sure that we identified areas of uncertainty as not just being about threats. We are not going about in our organisations to say to top management, there are all these terrible things happening out here and we've actually got to address them because otherwise it's going to be a disaster. Because there's absolutely limited hearing for this. We really do have to approach much more on the point of view of, okay, we know that change is inevitable. We know that we've set up systems to do things. We know that we've got records which will actually do the business of recording the transactions in our areas in an appropriate manner. But we have to identify the uncertainties against this. And these uncertainties may be both positive and negative. And it's critical that we actually see these things as not purely being threats. They can be opportunities. They particularly can be opportunities where you're talking about the areas of compliance and the development of new tools and technology which could actually improve both record keeping and the business activities of the organisation. And we need to be part of the people talking to top management that identifies the positives, not purely telling a tale of woe. Now, there's any number of tales of woe, and it is interesting that David Beerman, whose name might be familiar to you, he's certainly a long-term standing international consultant in the area of analysis of record keeping, who has remarkable international standing. He opened his session at the recent Toledo conference, international conference on records and archives, by saying that the environmental threats at present are more frequent and more catastrophic than we have faced ever before in our industry. Now, in Australia, we should certainly be aware of that. You only have to think of the bushfires in Victoria in 2009 and the catastrophic floods in Queensland last year to realise that we are now dealing with catastrophic effects from natural threats, which are occurring on a more intense and frequent scale than they have before. And if we are not serious about addressing those, when we look at things like risk management, then we are not serious about the actual issue of identifying and assessing threat. So when we start to look at the question of assessment, we have to identify two areas in relation to records which are really quite scary. One is that there are environmental events over which we can have no control. So we have to do the serious work of identifying the business critical records and systems in our organisation and making sure that we have built-in contingencies for protecting those things so the organisation can continue to function notwithstanding catastrophic events. So that means we do have to invoke, and we can in Australia because there is agreement about what appraisal means, we do have to invoke appraisal at both the level of identifying record-keeping requirements for business activities and identifying the high-value areas and the mission-critical areas so that we put those contingencies in place. Okay, so when we talk about objectives and we talk about risk in reference to potential events, this is the stuff that we've actually got to take into account. Now, form of expression of risk as a combination of consequences and the likelihood of occurrence. This is why the environmental stuff, in a way, we've got to be much, much more aware of than we might have been before. I mean, we are all used to doing business disaster preparedness plans, which identify things like fire and flood, and you think, oh yeah, maybe one. By the time it happens, I won't even be here, with any luck. Sorry, Maury, this is just not the way it is now, and we really do have to take more care than that. So this is one of the many things that we actually have to take into account. And finally, uncertainty. This is actually a really key definition because, in fact, we've structured our new draft standard on the basis of identifying areas of uncertainty in a systematic way with a systematic analysis of our organisations. And as I said, areas of uncertainty so that you cannot tell in advance what is going to happen. You do not know what the changes are going to be. You can make educated guesses about these things. And we've identified areas of uncertainty in the standard to provide guidance for these things. But we cannot pretend that this is exhaustive, complete, and that there are no other contingencies. Likewise, the standard has been drafted with, sorry, the TR has been drafted with checklists, which will help you actually assess these things. But we have to say at the outset, this is not exhaustive. It's not the only things to consider. You have to start with these tools and actually apply them to your particular circumstances, to your organisation, to your areas of responsibility. Okay. Now, the other thing I would say is that in relation to risk to records, the TR identifies one effect and one effect only, and that is that threats to records or record systems will impair the record's ability to fulfil the needs for the organisation. In other words, the authenticity, reliability, integrity and or the usability of the records has or will be undermined, impaired or destroyed by the failure to anticipate and manage risk. So we don't go into, this is why you need records, this is why they're important, these are all the wonderful things that they do. This is not part of the TR. The TR is actually saying, okay, there are records, you need records. That's the premise. Having got these things, what are the risks that we need to assess and anticipate and manage in relation to this, to the systems that look after them? Okay. Structuring risk identification. Now, this was in fact developed by my colleague, I'm not going to claim the IP in this, Raibo Rusilep, who is one of the project managers for the committee. I'm one of the other project managers. This is a big title. What it means is that I'm regarded as the native English speaker in the committee, because it is an international committee. I did point out to them as an Australian, I'm not actually a native English speaker, but they kind of ignored that. But Raibo and Hans Hoffman from the Netherlands National Archives had already developed a standard in relation to digital repositories, which is known as the Jambora standard, and on the basis of that expertise had identified a basic way of approaching these things. The committee now involves 13 or 14 countries out of the 26 countries who are a member of the SC11 subcommittee. And Raibo is the person who actually developed this particular structure. So the structure of our text starts with the context external. Now what do we mean by that? We're talking about all the things which are outside the organisation. We're talking about the areas of change which can involve legislation, they can involve standards, they can involve the economic and financial environment, they can involve the political environment, they can involve social and cultural changes in the society at large, all of which can have an impact on expectations about records, organisations' behaviour, what should be there by way of accountability, what should be there by way of legal liabilities, and management of those liabilities, what the regulatory environment is for record keeping. All of these things are external to an organisation, therefore they're beyond the control of the organisation's top management, never mind the control of the organisation's records managers, you and I. However, because in fact they can have very dramatic effects upon record keeping requirements, we do have to be mindful of them. We have to actually have means of identifying them and systematically assessing them against the records and record systems in the organisation. Context external, on the contrary, is much more to do with what's actually going on in your own organisation. Again, as records managers, we may well have limited control over these things. You'd hope we'd have some input into some of the things going on in our organisations, but I'm not going to make too many statements about that, coming from as it is, from a university environment, where we are just one of many thousands working away in an incredibly diverse organisation, which seems to be governed by a succession of hierarchies and committees beyond the understanding of normal mortals. The context of internal that's particularly important is it talks about the technology. What's actually about an organisation? It talks about what's the actual function of your organisation. What does it do? How does it do these things? It talks about the internal stakeholders. Who are the people that we have to deal with? Are they customers? Are they clients? We don't really regard students in universities as customers or clients, despite the best attempts of the managerialists to make us think about them that way. But clearly, in our environment in the university, the students are the most important people that we have to deal with who are not actually running things. It talks about the economic environment, because as we all know, these are things that actually critically affect how we're all organising things. At the moment, we appear, despite the fact that Australia is doing so much better than most other countries at the moment, to be suffering from a mindset that says it's all gloom and doom, and we have to cut costs, and we have to save, and all the other tribe. It impacts on records, because in fact if you identify a need to migrate, to move to upgrade to a new system, to buy more storage, to generally manage your responsibilities as the record keeper in the organisation appropriately, the financial and economic environment is in fact something you have to be critically aware of. It affects also things like the personnel. Who are they? Who does the record stuff in the organisation? What are the responsibilities and how are they delineated. Who is responsible for record keeping awareness and training? Is it your job? Is it a general job? Are these things actually properly done? What about compliance with the legislative environment? Who are responsible for things like not just the State Records Act, but the privacy legislation, the GIPA legislation, the public reporting legislation, the general accountability in the organisation? This is part of the internal context in which we have to operate. The record systems themselves. The argument that we make is that records can only be maintained with the integrity, usability, authenticity and reliability that we'd hope they'd have if in fact record systems are robust, well-designed, well-managed, well-resourced and appropriate to the activities going on. And I have to say that I don't draw a big distinction between business systems and record systems. Most business systems keep records. They mightn't keep good records, and they mightn't keep them well, but on the whole they'll have some kind of transactional stuff in them. And I think it's important that we actually identify that our province, our area of responsibility, is the transactional stuff. It's not the data tables. It's not the database stuff. It's the transactional stuff. And that's the argument that we need to hang on to and the hook that we need to actually sell beyond the ranks of the business activity itself. Other things about the record systems, it's not just the technology, it's also what I always think of as being the record-keeping infrastructure. It's the structure of the tables. It's the relationships between systems, which is particularly important. It's the classification and terminology that the organisation uses about its own activities that we have to build into our systems and our understanding. It's keeping proper records of this stuff. I was thinking very much through Kate's address that one of the things we used to do as archivists 30-odd years ago in the Commonwealth arena was document the record systems that existed in organisations. It is obvious to me that today we've actually got to go back and retrieve that function of 30 plus years ago as record managers in our own organisations, and we must become the repository of knowledge of the systems that exist in our organisations. We have to know who the business owners are. We have to know what these systems do, and we have to have a fair idea of what the record keeping requirements attached to them should be, regardless of whether they are actually in operation or not, so that we become the people to whom people turn when they need to either upgrade, migrate, look at interoperability, look at identifying system changes. And if we don't actually restore that function to our province, I'm not quite sure who's going to do it, because frankly nobody else has the skills to do it the way we would do it. But it's something we have to recover from our past, and it's a point actually that was made very well at our recent record keeping roundtable discussion of the legacy of the Australian series system. The Australian record keeping system is different from overseas. We have a much more transactional based understanding in Australia, and we've managed to hang on to that despite all the stuff that people have thrown at us, particularly in the information management field. I think it's critical that we actually try and retrieve that understanding of transactionality to identify what we have to do and how we do it. And it is a way of actually being able to identify, even to IT people, that when you're looking at business systems, what you're really talking about is transactions. It's not just a matter of database changes. And it's a way of actually approaching, well, what is the record and how do you identify and manage it? So I'm going to carry away there. Okay. The records themselves. Well, this is actually our area of responsibility and our expertise. I don't need to go through that, but the most critical point we need to make there is that we are the people who are the experts on metadata. Now, metadata is a word I actually have very limited time for. In many, many cases, actually it's a barrier to understanding. What it really is talking about in relation to both record systems and records is control information. How do you know what the record is in front of you? How do you know what this stuff is? How do you find out about it? What's its date stamp? What's its time stamp? Who actually controls it? If this transactional record has to cross from my area to another area, will the second area be able to identify it adequately? If it has to go beyond that and we have to actually provide records in a legal context, is there sufficient control information there for you to be able to say categorically, yes, this is the record of the transactions involved in this particular piece of litigation? Now, that's a very basic argument you can make, because at the bottom level, one of the arguments we have to present to management about why records are important is, in fact, the defensive record keeping, defensive records aspect of it. Now, this is a matter of business risk, yes, but we are the experts we have to identify how do we actually provide record keeping to address business risk. So when I say to you that we're, the defensive aspect is not necessarily the one you want to sell, it's a last ditch argument in many ways, but it does go back to something that, would you believe the medicos actually say about this stuff is, and it goes right like this. Good records, good defence. Poor records, poor defence. No records, no defence at all. Nice little catchphrase to be able to sell. As I said, you don't want to have to use the negative argument, but it's something to keep in mind for in desperate circumstances. The metadata management, as I said, as Kate said actually quite a number of times in her address, particularly in the digital environment, if we don't get this stuff right, and if we don't actually identify how we manage it, and if we don't actually identify the risks in relation to things like migration, system movement and upgrading and redevelopment, then in fact we're not doing our job as record keepers. It's an absolutely critical aspect of it, and it's one of the areas that is identified with lights in the new standard. Okay. So that's the way that we're actually approaching structuring our new TR. The thing about it that I have to really emphasise, though, like records themselves, these things are not linear and they're not hierarchical. You can use this as a way of approach. You can use it in an abstract sense of a way of analysing stuff. But as we all know, records are organic and they're contingent. So they're not linear. They're dynamic. The relationships between them change, and consequently, what you decide today about one set of transactions can shift tomorrow, and it's not just a matter of identity and uncertainties, it's because in fact there are relationships there, their actual interoperability is real, interaction is real, and so you simply can't look at these in a linear fashion, or simply in a hierarchical fashion. So in that sense, that's a slightly abstracted representation of how we approach these things, but it's a caveat that you have to build into how you actually assess and analyse risk. All right. So what we're hoping to do, I'll leave that at that point, is provide a means of identifying uncertainties under the, in that schema, under those headings. So we'll provide you the headings, we'll provide suggested areas of uncertainty, we'll provide checklists which allow you to actually then assess these things for your organisation, and that will then give you a structure for reporting these things, so you can then start to go on to the really hard bit, which is the assessment. Okay. Now, this is the one that's really embryonic in the TR. We've actually got to draft some text to go out so that it goes out for ballot next February for the first committee draft assessment. From that, we'll get a million comments that come back to us, which we'll resolve at our meeting in May in Berlin, to come up with what will either be a penultimate or a final draft for ballot. That's how this process works. The assessment stuff will basically work on table forms. It will be looking at levels of risk. Is it significant loss? Is it severe, so that large percentages of records are unusable? Is it catastrophic? Have you lost a lot? Is it immaterial? The other sorts of assessment, it has to be reach. It's not just intensity, it's the reach. How far does this impact across the organisation? Is it limited to this particular business area? Is it limited to a particular layer, i.e. is it the personnel system? Is it the financial system? Is it the major business systems of the organisation we're talking about? Is it across the board? So we'll provide essentially a table which will allow you to identify those things. And then there's the issue of frequency. Now, the point about frequency in the areas of uncertainty or external threats, this is where the environmental impact stuff starts to get really quite concerning, because we are most certainly seeing a level of greater frequency of environmental threats than we've seen in the past, and it's having an impact in a way that we might not have anticipated. One of the things that strikes has been quite remarkable in the digital era, but nobody seems to think that the loss of electric power in your organisation could not occur. Oh yes it does. A couple of years ago, in fact, we lost the power board for the library, official library of the University of Sydney, because in fact it had been made in Germany. It's a huge ceramic thing and had to be recast from scratch. It took 3 months to replace. So they had to bring in generators to power the library. This was fairly important because the library was also the location of several of the backup off-site systems for the organisation. Yes, fairly significant. Okay, so we had these two huge generators going day and night. Then they stopped because somebody had forgot to buy fuel for the generators. Now, we are not living in a third world country. We are living in Sydney, New South Wales, which I thought was, you know, relatively rich, reasonably competent actually insuring these things. No. When you get outside the major cities or outside the major centres, then the whole question of power supplies becomes a far dodgier issue. And we've already been talking about the issues with IT or broadband or access to the internet. Again, I don't work in a really rich organisation, so why is it the internet is so crap in it? I have no idea. It's just one of those realities I have to, you know, we all have to face. The infrastructure in these areas is absolutely significant, and you have to identify when you're looking at your business critical systems, how long can you last without them? Okay, so frequency is not easy. When you're doing risk assessment, these are the sorts of things you have to build in which are specific to your organisation's circumstances. One of the reasons I think it has proved incredibly difficult to draft this particular text, and we have been going at it now for nearly 3 years. And when I look at the shape of the text at the moment, I think, God, has it really taken us this long? Yes, it has. It's because, in fact, there is an absolute limit to how far you can do this in the abstract. Your organisation's circumstances are the most important ones when you're doing an assessment. So you have to start from that. And as a consequence, our TR, I hope, will prove useful because it provides you with a systematic way of approaching these things. But the application to your own circumstances is the most critical part of it. And so in that sense, I think we'll provide a tool which will actually prove useful for you, but nobody should understand it as being, in fact, exhaustive, complete, or the only way to do these things. And we have written all of those caveats into the text. Now that brings me to the final thing I actually want to address. This is not the only stuff we are doing or have done. We have actually moved into a new area, and I have the permission, thank you, Amanda, to introduce our two new products which have just been approved and are now in publication. These are the Management Systems for Record Standards. This is new. These are not the same as the standards that SC11 has been producing for the last 10 years. These are addressed to management. They're not addressed to us. In that sense, they're not even for us particularly to implement. What they do is set the requirements and the fundamentals for setting up a management system to provide a framework for records in your organisation. This is a way for us to get a seat at the table, the grown-ups table that Kate referred to. These are intended to address top management about what they need to do to put in a system which can ensure that records are taken seriously in your organisation. They are written in a language that does not use our terminology by and large. It uses, in fact, the common text, which has been developed by one of these highfalutin committees, which has got a set of initials I never remember because it's too hard. But it means that these things can be integrated with the other management system standards, such as the ones for information security, for environmental assessment and management, for quality systems. They are designed to be interoperable. And as I said, they are designed to address top management about what it needs to do to put a proper system in place for managing the various responsibilities of top management. I think they will be exceedingly useful. They take the record stuff out of our kind of level of activity in the organisation and put it at the top, which is where it needs to go. They certainly do identify the requirements for putting a management system into place. They are auditable and certifiable, and we are putting the subsidiary standards in the series together to enable auditing against them. But they are not record standards. They are management standards, and there's a very critical difference to be understood about that, because it does seem to have caused some confusion across our industry, unfortunately, about where these things fit. I can't wait for them to be published, because I intend to actually use them as part of our approach for putting to the Vice Chancellor of our university, our CEO, a new record-giving policy with the procedures and instruments to support it, to push records up to the top level in our organisation. The risk management standard, which in fact will come out of this exercise that we've been talking about this morning, will be part of this suite. That's why the records risk assessment for records and record system standard is our standard. That's addressing us. That talks about our stuff. Using it will be our responsibility. But what will come out of that will feed into the risk management standard, which will be part of this suite. It will go up to the next level. So yes, there is a hierarchy here, but of course, like most hierarchies, it's interactive. At the top level will be our MSRs, as we call them, Management Systems for Record Standards. Below that will be the instruments which enable the auditing and certification, and the risk management one will be part of that suite. Below that are the standards which are our responsibility and which are produced by our efforts. The foundation standard still, ISO 15489, that will remain. It's being validated for revision, and it will almost certainly be revision to put it into line with some of the developments of the last 10 years. 10 years is a very old standard by international standards. But it will remain the foundation. But the MSRs, I think these are new instruments for us to use, as I said, to get us a seat at that management table to try and actually elevate the importance of this stuff. Risk is one way we can talk to them about this is why this is important. I go back to my opening point, though. We should not present it as a series of threats. It is also a series of opportunities to do this stuff better, to actually make things work better, to promote interoperability, to identify the stuff that's really important that goes on in the organisation and say, okay, these are the mission-critical things that need to be done to protect these. I'll finish by saying, I hope you find them all useful.